The last couple of years have been one for the books, to say the least. It is so exciting to get back to live audiences, whether it is a concert, sporting event, theater, etc. Whatever it is that you are looking for, I've got the perfect place for you. Megaseats.com. I know I'm not the only one who hates going to purchase tickets, seeing the ones you want, hitting that checkout button, and a price pops up and you're like, whose tickets are these? They cannot be mine. Well, with Megaseats.com, the price you see is the price you get. No, really. No hidden fees at checkout. Type in the code SSAWNETWORK in all caps at checkout and also receive a 10% discount. Your next live event is just a click away.
Welcome back to the Cover Zero podcast. It's Jordan coming at you guys following this championship round weekend. And I am sitting here tonight with a man who is sitting very pretty and happy. One more turn around the earth recently occurred for this guy. And now his squad is heading to the Super Bowl. I am joined by the man who always has his fingerprints all over this show, but that you rarely get to hear. And when you do, it's always a treat. So, ladies and gentlemen, I give you our producer, Abe. Bro. How are you tonight?
First of all, I just want to know whose motherfucking house. I want to know whose motherfucking house is this?
Rams house.
Let's bro, you, go.
Bro, you have to do the loud Rams house. You have to. Go ahead.
Whose house? Whose house? Rams house. Let's go. Yes, sir. Oh, my goodness. I know that's going to blow my ears out when I go to edit that. I already know I'm going to regret that. I already know.
You won't even get mad at yourself for yelling so loud. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. Oh, yo. What a fantastic. What a just an awesome day of football. And yeah, like you mentioned before, recently just celebrated my birthday. And so, you know, just really nice to be able to wrap up the weekend with your team going to the Super Bowl, for real. But we'll surely get to that later, for real.
We've got time, my friend. We got time.
Yeah,
we got time. Big, big happy birthday, as always. And, I mean, the present is so amazing if you're a Rams fan, which, of course, like you said, we will get to. But, of course, this Sunday started off with what ended up being the unexpected, I would say, but started off as the expected. And by that, I mean basically just the way this Bengals and Kansas City game unfolded. Sure, we expected it to be a big, huge, entire blowout by Kansas City. I mean, the line went into this one at 7 points. There are still people taking the Chiefs with that spread. I like the Bengals with the 7 myself. But 21-3, 18-point deficit. Like, I swear we read this book in week 17. I thought we did. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that was the point. And I thought it was going to get real, real, real bad for Cincinnati. And it didn't. Like, bro, this game was fire. Like, we were treated to another dope weekend, and this was the first one that kicked it off. I mean, early on in this game, what did you see from Kansas City that you were really appreciating?
I just saw a typical Kansas City, you know. Like, this is what we expected. Because remember, early on in the season, they were looking shaky, and it's like, yo, have they finally been figured out? But I remember telling Osan on, you know, my co-host on the Osan A podcast and whatnot, I'm like, if the Chiefs do make it to the playoffs, they're not doing it limping. They're going to hit their stride. And then, of course, they did. And then we had the epic, epic showdown that you called. You called last week's games to be, you know, your favorite. And it surely did not disappoint. And then to come in here, it was just business as usual for the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm a big Joe Burrow fan. You know that. But I was just like, damn, it's really looking ugly. I even commented and shout out to the SSAW Facebook page, commented saying, they're going to need Burrow to act like a god you know, an offensive god to even win this. But that second half was a different story for that Cincy defense. But yeah, first impressions off the first half, I was like, all right, typical Kansas City nonsense, you know. They're going to do this every day, all day.
Yeah, it's what it was. I mean, it was just an onslaught. I mean, first drive, 11 plays, 84 yards, touchdown. The next drive, 7 plays, 70-something yards, and a touchdown. The next drive, even less plays, same amount of yardage roughly, and a touchdown. And throughout all that time, basically Cincinnati just amounted like a field goal on the first drive after a long one and then a punt. And just like schematically, what we were seeing from Kansas City early on in that game was just them really taking the underneath stuff quickly, living in with that on the run game. The first drive, Jerick McKinnon finished with like 6 yards a pop on like 4 or 5 carries just to kind of get things going, you know. And it was like you said, vintage Kansas City. Just them doing what we have seen this team accustomed to do. And I think it's when they get to running those crossers and they put those linebackers in conflict, like they still have that working for them. And I really want to go back and watch the All-22 and see like specifically what it was for, just like, was it Mahomes not settling for the short one? Was it Mahomes trying to do too much and throw it deep? Was it him maybe, you know, because he was bouncing around in that pocket late a lot. And, you know, it ended up being just him running around and scrambling and just kind of, you know, eventually something wasn't the same for them. But like when they get Tyreek Hill going on them crossers and like he's able to like square up after catching the ball, it's like he hops backwards to square up or he gets behind you a little bit. I mean, it just, I thought it was about to be over, but Joe Burrow, man, he didn't give up. And let me ask you this, man. Would you expect a bigger game from Chris Jones today?
He was getting home. You know, he was getting pressure. It's just, we got to give a lot of love to to Joey Burrow for just managing to extend plays. You know, that, especially in that first half, that offensive line wasn't doing its best job of giving Burrow time to throw and, you know, the same usual stuff that we see. But by the second half, you know, whatever Taylor said to him in the locker room, you know, whatever speech he had, they all got it together. They all got it together where that offensive line stepped up a bit more, so much so that even though, you know, the play I'm referring to, even though Chris Jones got to Burrow twice on that same play.
On the same play, like up high and down low.
Yeah.
First time it's was up high, like, the second time was at his feet.
Burrow showed you, because that last drive, Burrow converted 2 third-and-longs. Mm-hmm. With his legs, you know,
yeah,
he put the team on his back and made it happen. And it's just Chris Jones, I don't think he played too bad.
He didn't have a single, like, you don't have one, like, you got right there, like, Chris, like, you're the second best, like, there's Aaron Donald and there's you, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it should have been. And I mean, we can say that it's funny that you mentioned that too, because then when we look at the other game, they're similar comparisons, but yet the impact is so different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we talk about Chris Jones' performance versus the Bengals, and then when we talk about Aaron Donald's performance versus the Niners. But I don't think he played that bad. It's just, I mean, that's a gimme right there.
That is a gimme right there. And like, also with me, it was something we talked about going into the show, him particularly going to be going against Akeem Adeniji. Yeah. Right. And he was. And Adeniji looked bad. And there was a couple of times, yeah, sure, where Chris got him. Like, Chris got through there. It's not like he didn't make any plays at all. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. But, like, I want to see this dude being a force that's, like, erupting again. Like, Melvin Ingram was more active on that line than Chris Jones was today.
Oh, Melvin Ingram was.
Melvin showed out. Like, Melvin was playing his ass off. He was a force on the edge. The sack he got was when he also drew a holding call. On the same play, literally following that up, he gets a pass deflection. Like, this dude literally by himself on a drive forced a third down. You know what I mean? Like, just him doing that. Him coming on the edge, playing versus the run anytime they were trying to push Joe out wide. Mixon, that is. They're trying to push Mixon out wide, and that wasn't where they were having a ton of success. But Mixon actually got going between the tackles today, especially late. And whenever they were able to get that, you know, it worked out. Just variations of, like, powers. I think that was like the first one that got him going. They put two players in the hole. But I remember, like, in that first half, man, Mahomes the first half to Mahomes, the second half in overtime, I didn't see that coming. Like, this dude was absolutely cooking in the first half. I mean, he was dicing up just even like two high coverages, which is the whole thing. Two high coverages are giving the Chiefs problems, which sure, it did throughout the regular season. But then as time went on, they kind of figured out a way to like combat that and get back to being who they are. And against two high coverages in the first half, this fool was 12 of 13 for 174 yards. He also had three TDs on the day. What are your thoughts on how they closed out that first half when they decided to go for it with no timeouts following that penalty? Would you have kicked the field goal, give yourself 24-3 going into half, or look, my offense is humming, my quarterback is clicking, I have the advantage, let's just feed the beast? What would you have done?
Simply me, I'm kicking the field goal. Because, I mean, it's points, especially since we're getting the ball back to start the second half anyway. At this point, with a lead, a growing lead like that, let me just rack up all the points. However, it's the Chiefs, you know, and right. I understand, like, if I'm going to give a team leeway, I'm giving the Chiefs leeway on certain calls. And that's one of them because, I mean, I feel like 8 times out of 10, they score a touchdown. But it's funny enough because one of the players who has been, you know, receiving a lot of criticism lately for their Twitter comments, but also basically for their play. Eli Apple made that play happen. Eli Apple stepped
Yeah, he stopped
up.
Tyreek on that one. He did.
Yeah. If he doesn't do that, that's a touchdown.
It is, and he had help inside because Trey Hendrickson, who was just like, that dude was chasing around Mahomes. That dude got so gassed and so exhausted, like, just put me in on third down towards the end of the game. Mm-hmm. And yeah, for sure, it did. Like, it was just great play by Eli Apple. He still can't make interceptions even when the ball's thrown right to him.
He can't.
Still can't do that.
That was a very, very clutch play because, yeah, it completely changed the momentum of the game heading into the second half, which is something that was needed because, you know, as we just obvious as fans, a team going up, you know, at that point, if they went up 28-3, yo, we know Brady not in that Cincy locker room. All right,
we
know
that. Exactly.
You know?
There was just enough time to get what they got.
Yeah, we feel like, you know, Chiefs fans are feeling comfy. Bengals fans are feeling like, oh, you know what? It's Ravs. Well, let's go out with Digman. But to not even get the field goal and to keep the score the same, oh, that is – it's just – it's not that bad.
21 points with the ball?
Yeah, it's not that bad. It's like, all right, you know, let's get one more stop. At that point, you're saying, let's take it a play at a time. Yo, we stopped them. We're about to take a break. All right, we come out second half. They get the ball first. Come on. We can do it again. Just take a play at a time. Breathe, relax.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's exactly what they do.
Mm-hmm. And I figured, too, like, just, you know, to put a ball on the Chris Jones part of it from Kansas City. They were subbing out Adeniji with the backup Chapman, right? So you got a bad starter and a backup. And we aren't like, there was just times where like this Bengals team is coming back and like coming back. Like, sure, one of them started on that crazy interception from BJ Hill, which,
wow.
However that happened. Like,
wow.
That was just like a play they needed. And who would have just like, there's nothing you can do. Like, okay, defensive, hey, BJ Hill, come here. So when Mahomes is throwing it, like, put your hands up. And then when you block it, like, catch it, okay? All right, cool, coach. Like, that doesn't happen. You know? That doesn't happen. But it did. And, like, Romo had said it, I think, on the broadcast. Like, they need a couple of bounces of the ball to go their way to maybe start some momentum. And that was the first part of it. And then they got to work right there. They got to work. Overall on the day, man, what would you say about your dude, Joey B?
Oh, my God, Joey B. Well, first of all, in the first half, it wasn't like he was playing bad. There was... For sure, touchdowns that were dropped.
Though. The first drive, he was really moving the ball. Goodness. He really was. And, yeah, he was really moving the ball on that first drive. I got to give him his credit for that.
Right in the pocket, just like, I mean, there might have been some PI, you know, pass interference, but it still fell right in that pocket, that sweet spot. And it just, but, you know, Joe Burrow, they call him Joey Buckus, Joe Ice, you know, Joe Smooth, all these other names that they got from him, apparently. He never panicked. And that's something that we've seen from him all throughout the entire season. We've seen him face deficits before and take his team back. And that's exactly what he did. And when he needed to make the play himself, oh, he for sure did that.
Mm-hmm.
I also have to give credit to Chase and just the play calling, because Jamar Chase wasn't effective at all in that first half.
Was not at all. They were trying to get the ball in like end of rounds and stuff. And
yeah,
there was a third down, bro. I remember that like Spags called and Romo made a call of it, you know, showing the all 22 mm-hmm. where like he basically just did like an invert. Like normally you see an inverted two, like an inverted two is like an inverted cover two. This fool did like he inverted the safeties on a cover two man when Sorensen dropped deep and Matthew came into the box. That looked pretty cool. And really on that play, the key to it was is that Legarius Sneed got such a dope jam on Jamar Chase, which you really don't see Jamar Chase get jammed. Like he has such a good like ability to separate from press. Even as a rookie, he's one of the best at it already in the NFL. And in the first half, yeah, that was happening a lot, which, you know, led to Jamar not having a big day to start out and the Bengals offense kind of stalling.
I always love to joke around that Joey Burrow is the best quarterback in the AFC North, and yes, I say that knowing that Lamar Jackson is there as well. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen, Lamar Jackson is still the best quarterback in the AFC North. But that man, Joey Burrow, is right there, and that's the case. If people want to argue, especially depending on how the season ends, even though we also know how it will end. But but I'd be a liar if I said I expected them to even make it to the Super Bowl. I did not expect this at all. Especially knowing that their deficiencies mm-hmm. of the O-line and their lack of being able to pass protect and to keep Joey clean.
Mm-hmm.
Despite all that, they still got it done. That defense stepped up. That we got to speak on that Cincinnati defense that second half. They stepped up.
I could not believe in that second half the way like Mike Hilton was just, you saw like, it's not like, I don't want to say like he was just step for step sprinting, running with him because, you know, he had the savvy veteran moves at the top of routes. Just give a tiny little tug just for a second. Like the things that, you know, like that we call it savvy. It's like, you know, kind of mm-hmm. getting away with a pull, getting away with a little grab, but then letting go like right away and then moving step for step, like just to get himself that little tiny advantage. We saw that on numerous in-breakers with him. Like, Mike Hilton was making plays just like Mike Hilton usually does, yeah. Just on a defensive football field. They sent him on some blitzes where they knew they had to account for him. I think there was even that one play in the second quarter. It was before the Kelsey touchdown, I want to say. Which, by the way, on that play, the Kelsey touchdown, Hubbard, the defensive end, that dude got blocked in the back. Like, it was super-duper obvious, but, you know, whatever. It is what it is. But anyway, back to like Mahomes with Mike Hilton. He like says he's about to snap the ball and he goes, "Watch the nickel coming. Watch the nickel coming." And you hear him like it makes its way into the broadcast. It happened to be a run play and they were sending a run blitz on the gap. But thankfully then the left guard was able to get enough push to kind of like wall him off and stop it. It's like it was just a really good job of Pat recognizing his opponent and just a part of that Cincinnati defense that was really, really improving. And I mean, once again,
that defense was a lot more communicative in the second half.
Yeah, very active. That
helped them settle down because, like you said, they were also doing a better job of passing their assignments off and whatnot to keep the defense flowing. And, man, I was surprised by it.
That dude, I've talked about him on the show before, and here he is again. Making another play in a high leverage point, and he's had himself a great playoff so far. A great play. He has been the best safety in the playoffs right now, and that's Jesse Bates. Yeah. And not enough people are really talking about this guy. Number 30 for Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Against the Raiders, he had like 4 or 5 solo just pass breakups that showed up on like a broadcast view. Even when you watch the all 22, the way you see him just communicate things and how the defense kind of centers around him. There's an axis of the whole entire defense that exists around Jesse Bates, and everyone benefits because of the way he can just give you a safety blanket over the top, the way that he can communicate concepts and routes that are coming, the way that he's always in the right place. He started off the Tennessee game with an interception. Like they ran that play action. Everyone thinking they're going to go to Derrick Henry in the Titans game. They're going to go to Derrick Henry. Bates just, I'm a single high. I'm not even coming out the roof. A matter of fact, I'm going to squat. Yeah, I'm a squatter on this roof right now. I'm not coming. I'm not driving on that shit. They throw the ball way too late. Whoop, pick right off the bat. than today, making the tip against Tyreek Hill in overtime. But yet Von Bell's the one who was able to secure the tip. But that doesn't happen if Jesse Bates doesn't, A, recognize the deep buster and being able to fly over the top and provide a lid to the defense, and then B, making a play on the ball without committing a penalty. Absolutely. I mean, this dude just continually shows up, and I just have, I've always appreciated watching this guy, and now I'm loving him seeing just throughout the course of this postseason, him doing what he's done for a long time.
Yeah. And you know the jokes that were flying when it's overtime and the Chiefs won the coin toss. People were like, well, hey, well, that's game. And nah, it wasn't. It totally wasn't. It's so crazy to me.
It wasn't.
Let me give a shout out to Samaj Perine too, because
he had a good game, except for that one play where he went the opposite way on a screen pass.
Yeah, that was a little confusing.
He's like, ooh, this area is open, but bro, that's not where your blockers are.
Yeah, it's like, wait, sir, are you trying to die? Like, come on.
You see Joe walking up to him like, hey man, the line's going that way.
Be careful. Joey worked for the mafia. Samaj was in trouble, dude. Oh man, I'm just looking at replays of that fourth down. Right before the half. Just wow, Eli Apple just put himself in a great position to give himself utmost confidence. Continue talking shit online.
he needed that clout.
Oh man, but wow, I was truly surprised by the Bengals. I mean, I Super Bowl run again. I did not expect it. I was thinking that yes, next season, oh, they'll be playoff contention for sure. I just didn't have trust in them because hey, how is Joey going to look? Y'all didn't really fix the offensive line, but Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Joe Mixon, boy, they Uzuma, they don't care about that at all. They said they're going to get it done one way or the other, and the defense is like, bet, we're going to do what we can. And the offensive line is like, we're just here. You
know, we're just here. Yeah, I mean, it was just, yeah, we're just here, and, you know, we're surviving, and the team is where there's people, of course, in the locker room, in every locker room in the NFL at the start of the year. Yeah, we're making the Super Bowl. Like, this type of stuff doesn't happen unless that mindset exists in the locker room.
Absolutely.
You know,
because all the adversity. I mean, just look at it. I mean, this O-line is Joe Burrow was sacked the most regular season. I think it was like 51 or 59.
53, in the 50s.
So high 50s. It's like, golly, like, what is y'all doing every Sunday? Is y'all just eating a Hot Pocket back there? What's going on?
Eating a Hot Pocket.
But it's just like, all right, you know, they have the game where he gets sacked 9 times. It doesn't matter. This team didn't. I'll say this. They don't give up.
No.
They don't give up. That tenacity is I got to reward. It's the only reason why. You know, as a Rams fan, as happy as I am right now, I'm not taking this team lightly because they
can't, bro. You can't. You can't take no team lightly that's in the fucking Super Bowl. Like, you can't.
You know, I joke that like, yo, that old lot is gonna have to deal with Vaughn and AD. Like, I texted Osan. I said, so when do we start the prayer circle for Joey Burrow? Because you know, as much as I'm happy for him and what he's accomplished, I'm also very worried for his life. That being said, though. It's not like he hasn't been chasing and running around this entire season and postseason. This guy is special. This guy he is. We love to talk about Mahomes. We love to talk about Herbert. We love to talk about Lamar, Josh Allen. Don't forget this dude. In year two, not even two full seasons because of the injury, but in year two, his team's going to the Super Bowl. That's crazy.
That's crazy. And I mean, just it started, man, like that second half, Kansas City came out and punted. And then I was like, oh, they got to take advantage. And then the Bengals had to punt. And it's like, the defense got another stop. Boom. Got the ball back for him. And they ended up walking away with 3. And then, of course, the conversations, you can't win the game when you get 3 points. Sure. Like, overall, there is a time where it's like, okay, we can't just have 3. And that time was following the interception for me. When Mahomes threw that tip, like we had talked about earlier with B.J. Hill, that was the drive where the Bengals couldn't settle for 3. That was that drive.
Yeah.
Right. There is the mindset of it where it's like, well, I want points off of my turnover. And I get that. You know what I mean? I understand why you would think that. Like, okay, I got the ball back. At least I'm going to get points out of it. Yeah. But at this juncture in the game, going against the opponent you were going against, Had they approached fourth down, I'm going for it. But nonetheless, we didn't even need to have that debate because Jamar Chase just caught a nasty fade on Rashad Fenton in the left side of the end zone. And this team is capable of that. This team is just capable of being able to, no matter what the chips are, they just believe. And it stems from, has to stem from what they got on this offense working with this young cat, Joey B. So real excited to see how this Super Bowl is, of course, gonna play out. We will definitely have time to get to that. Definitely have time to get to that. But as we say goodbye to the Chiefs, man, first time we ever saw Patrick Mahomes lose to anybody but Tom Brady. And the first time that we ever saw Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs get beat twice in the same season by somebody that was also not Tom Brady.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. I mean, it happens. You know, this isn't going to thwart Kansas City from being where they are right now. I mean, people wrote them off at numerous points in this season. What's going on with them? You know, oh my God, they're so bad. They're not even going to go this far. And yet they basically, you could say, you know, had the win in their pocket and ended up just blowing a 18-point lead at home with the ball in overtime. Crazy, bro.
Hey, and let's keep in mind, too, leading up to this game, Joe Burrow made those comments that had people their feathers a little ruffled. And, you know, I agreed with the naysayers, like, yeah, it's still hard to prepare for that energy of a home game, especially such a big playoff game where the winner goes to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But when Joe Burrow has said things, he has backed it up. Like, yes, they had that one delay of game call on him. I'm like, oh, you can't be doing that and saying that. You know, people go be on your head. But that did not stop you. Even when you went into overtime, where it's looking like, all right, well, she's, you know, it's not impossible for them to score. If they get the ball first, defense said, we got you, baby. Don't worry, we got you. And then, so shout out to the Bengals. Shout out to Cincy.
Big shout out to Cincinnati. I say it every time on this show. I had Zach Taylor as a Black Monday candidate. Yeah. And right now he's looking more like a coaching of the year candidate. So that's one of my worst calls of all time. I'm going to own it, and I have owned it, and I will continue to. It's just, it further expresses the surprise of how much resiliency I see in this team and just how this is another reason why we all love sports. The underdog can win if the underdog believes, and this team believes, and Joey B believes. And hey. Big props, y'all. Big, huge props. And I love seeing it. We're going to take a break, though, and hear a word from our sponsor, and we'll be back. And we will give Abe the floor here on the Cover Zero podcast. What's up, guys? It's Jordan. And there's two things that I have to drink every day. And no, one of them is not craft beer, but that's water and coffee. Every morning, I have to have a cup of coffee. This episode is brought to you by IMWiseCoffeeCompany.com. I tried the Caramel Trust, the Morning Equity, and the one thing that stands out most to me about both of them is the quality. Wake up in the morning, turn on a game, fire up some breakfast, and pour yourself a cup of IMWise Coffee. Go to IMWiseCoffeeCo.com, enter in the promo code COVERZERO, save yourself 10%. The quality will be there, guaranteed. Welcome back to whose house is this, Abe? Whose house?
Well, before I even say that, let me pull up the shot of tequila. I gotta take another one right now.
Oh, he's gotta have a toast.
You know, this is a special moment right now.
Do you have any words to toast your glass? I'm raising my
Hazy IPA.
I'm raising my Hazy IPA from Block 15, the Citra Hazy, by the way. Very, very delicious selection from Cheap Charlie's here in Gresham. Big shout out to my homie Don. What do you have to say for your squad?
I just want to say just shout out to all the South Levi attendants, to the Sea of Red, to all the Niners fans, and to every fan of the sport who were complaining about the ticket blockage, a tactic that is done all the time in many sports. You know, just shout out to y'all And for the numbers of 65% of the stadium is red and whatnot. How does it feel to lose a home game right before the Super Bowl? That must be super painful.
To lose a home game and have a road trip until you get back to your house.
Yeah, and then you still got to take all these hours just to get back to your actual crib? Damn, couldn't be me. Not y'all getting kicked out your own crib now. Oh, you know what? Salute to y'all.
Salute. Salute. I legitimately held my beer in the air the whole entire time. I'm not even going to lie.
Oh, my shot glass was definitely in the air.
Shout out. I had to. I had to, man.
Nah, but wow. I mean, look. Entering the postseason, you know how frustrated I was with these losses. You know how every time me and CJ get into it, I'm like, CJ, we going to beat y'all. He's like, 0-2. Before the season even starts, 0-2. And I'm like, yeah, all right. Then it's 3 years later.
He wasn't wrong, though.
He wasn't wrong. 3 years later, 0-6.
He wasn't wrong. He was correct.
I'm like, this is crazy. We really 0-6 yesterday. But I wanted this rematch. I wanted this rematch for the longest because for me, even if Rams were to get into the Super Bowl, you know, if we saw Green Bay instead, then I have faith we would have beaten Green Bay, even though the task would have been taller. But hey, it would have been a big redemption story for Stafford anyway, because he's going against an old rival.
Right.
A Super Bowl win to me wouldn't feel complete when you still have that one coach in your division who completely demolishes you. And at this point, even fans can say if they want to be, whether they're delusional, whether they're allowed to or not. Nonsense. If y'all saw us, that would have been the case. And how could we argue?
Right.
3 straight years we've lost. Prior to those 3 straight years, McVay won 3 or 4 meetings and then lost 6 straight. McVay is up until tonight. McVay was 3-for-7 against Shanahan.
Yeah, as any capacity of a type of a coach, but yes.
3-7, I apologize. Yeah. And so I'm just like, all right, this is really unacceptable. But I need the Rams to face Shanahan, and I need McVay to exercise these demons. Because if you can do this, yo, that's a huge weight off your back. Even if it was like, hey, we still got to face Mahomes. We've had some players who faced Mahomes before. We know how that game is going to look like. But we actually have a quarterback this time around who can definitely go toe-to-toe. If you want to start slinging him around the field, we've got a quarterback who could do just that, baby. I'll tell you that right now.
Stafford was there were so many dope moments today. There were. Like, I would say this wasn't as good of a game as the Tampa game. But that is not to say that this man didn't just have some straight up just dimes today.
Oh, absolutely. And I have to give Stafford his props too, because look, our O-line is pretty good. But they've been under fire recently, right?
Mm-hmm.
In today's game, there were several times we had to step up in the face of pressure to make some of those throws. And have to take a hit. You saw how he was limping at one point too.
Yeah, that was towards the end of the quarters, right? Was there end of the half, end of the first half?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's like, look, Stafford, you said you wanted to win this game by any means necessary. So you said, "By yo, even if I got a second left of safety in this pocket, I'm using this second."
Did you see? This was really interesting. I was talking to my dad about this. We were watching the game. Like, so in the first quarter. Like something like on a play where he was getting roughed up or something in the pocket, he ended up getting this big cut on his left forearm.
Yeah.
Right? And that shit was bleeding like down to his elbow, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's football. This shit happens, right? And he don't like make a big deal of it. He don't do it. Like, he's Stafford, right? This fool has been hoping for this ever since that kid came out of Georgia. He's been hoping for this. He's been hoping to get away from the doldrums of Detroit and be in this position, right? He don't give a fuck. Then by the end of the game, you see like, he got a bandage on that cut. He got another bandage on a cut on like this other part. He got like a bloody knuckle. And then the whole time I'm looking at all this, I'm like, Tom Brady last weekend against the same had a tiny little boo-boo on his lip and they couldn't take the camera away from this man.
Oh,
like,
God.
How are these two things the same? Like, what's going on, Fox? What are we doing? We all know exactly what you're doing. That's the fucking problem. But I love seeing that and just that contrast. Like, here's this dude doing this, and they don't even make a fucking mention of it. Mm-hmm. And neither did he. And neither did Stafford. He wasn't like, Brady pointing to the refs. Look at my – and I get it. I mean, you know, hands to the face, whatever. But that's what he's doing. Stafford's just like, no, I'm going to continue to throw some dimes. Let's go. Well, everybody doubts him and says he is what he was, just equating what his talent is with the success of the organization in Detroit. Like, I love seeing that. It's just what I was talking about earlier, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, the underdog, if they believe they can do it, and like Stafford's always known he's been this capable, just get him in the right spot to do it, and here he is, and I love seeing that all gel and come together for y'all.
And I honestly thought that football fans would have been realized that, you know, that everything that happened in Detroit wasn't solely on Stafford. Right. Like, the only reason Detroit was really relevant was because of Stafford. Stafford and Megatron did the damn thing. Like, but you know, when you don't have a run game, when you don't have a defense that could really do anything for you, and it's just a 1-2 punch, that can get tired real quick. Real quick.
And I mean, we said it on our quarterback show. We got Matt Stafford in our top 10 QB show. We were talking about it. And people acting like we're crazy just because of what the Rams record was.
I told Ozan the whole time, I was like, oh yeah, the greatest show on turf 3.0 is coming. Now, it didn't end up being that. I mean, the air show was definitely on point, but a lot of plays that happened in that game, in this game, the 49ers Rams game, I try not to harp on the past with our previous quarterback, you know, too often, especially on social media, because people beat it to death, and it's like, look, yo, where we understand, it's pretty obvious. But let's just take a moment to really realize that how limited the playbook was with Jared Goff as our QB.
Oh, there was
and
there,
yet still there was the a small success ceiling we were on able it. To have. And now you have a guy like Stafford who opens it up so fucking wide, especially since Cooper Kupp is still proven to be that guy despite who his quarterback is. We saw Cooper Kupp was one of my favorite receivers, even though he wasn't top five in numbers, even with Jared Goff, because Jared Goff trusted him. He would always get open. I know, shout out to CJ. CJ had always had an eye on Cooper Kupp and always knew he was going to be special, and he's doing that. And now you give him a quarterback like Stafford who will do what Kupp is so good at doing. Kupp is so good at just finding his own spaces, you know?
That was literally the first touchdown, bro. That was literally the first touchdown, the third 13. He's running the corner route.
Exactly.
He's running the corner route. He recognizes the split safety immediately. The safety's dead on him. He keeps that vertical relationship with him, right? So the safety's just waiting on him. Is he going to press me deep? And I need to stay in front because this is where I can't let no one get behind me because there's no one behind me. Or do I play to stop or not? He breaks to the corner instantly and the ball is right there.
When was the last time that we ever spoke so much about a receiver who was so good at masking their routes and making their decisions just in the heat of the moment and always making the right call? When was the last time we've talked about a receiver like that?
His route running is different. I would say, like, we always with route running, we the first person to probably come up with reference to that is Davante Adams. I feel like Keenan Allen should come up more in reference to route running. That's what allowed him to be this good. But, I mean, to get back to what your question is, like, Kupp is different with his routes, you know.
Because he's not the fastest.
He's not the fastest.
He's not the fastest. Yes,
his thing is his body control.
Open.
Yeah. Yeah, like Julio coming out of a cut, like explosion, covering ground, this massively huge person, right? Kupp's is just... He's almost like robotic. He knows the parts of his body that need to move to get him there. And in his head, he knows what you're looking at. So at the top of routes, he'll sometimes spell, like at the top of the routes, his change of direction at the top of a route, like where you're going to break. Left, right, left, right, left. Boom, he's breaking right. Like, it's crazy. But he doesn't sell it just until that point. And he hangs on it. And he knows leverage points. And he understands that so well. And he's strong at the catch point. Bro, I mean, that fucking throw, right? The one on third down in the fourth quarter. It was the one where so they come out in a bunch to the left. Kupp moves from left to right. He goes in motion, right? And it's now a 2x2 stack. San Francisco sends a 6-man pressure after Stafford, and Kupp, like, you know, just completely, you know, like he runs basically like a delayed slant because he knows that the person in front of him has to deal with the switch release. So that's going to then create the relationship between him and the zone defender that's going to pick him up. And so that lets him need to know, how quickly do I got to go to gain my leverage? But he still knew he needed to do it quick enough to give Stafford time and a window against the blitz. And when Stafford let that shit go, bro, I mean, that ball just came out like a laser. And Kupp took off up the field. Like, he's normally a really, like, subdued guy. When he caught that ball, he stood up like he was a Super Saiyan. Ah!
Yeah, he did. He wanted this so bad. Because, I mean, we did have the drop pass where he was thinking touchdown.
In the first half, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
You catch that? Yeah, we already know with how you move. Oh, that's probably getting house. Mm-hmm. You know, but, it was just so just unbelievable to watch. And you know, and shout out to San Fran, because, again, who the hell expected them to be here? Especially with how they started the season. I didn't expect it.
I know.
Even as when the season unfolded, like, they're about to beat the, they're going to beat the Rams. It's like, well, they're still not going to the playoffs. And it's like, oh, wait, they are going to the playoffs. And shout out Deebo Samuel. Although, I will say this. Okay, after that Deebo Samuel touchdown, bro, I don't want to say headhunting, but we started flying to that boy.
You guys were. Oh. And I gotta give you this too, man. The way you guys handled San Francisco's run game today, you can't expect a better performance. Yeah. You cannot. There's literally no way around it.
I mean, we were dominating time of possession on top of that. Like, we really, really flipped the script. Completely flipped the script.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just, because, you know, the reports came out that we practiced on Thursday in pads to prepare for the physicality. Because that's the thing. It's like the way the 49ers play us, they play us like, yo, we don't care about all these all-pro players you got, these rich paid players you got. Oh, you got the number one receiver. Who cares? We are going to punch you in the mouth. And they've done that for 3 straight years. Mind you, 2 seasons ago when they were the COVID IR team, they were still beating us. Can you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
And now for the first time in 3 seasons, McVay and them are like, yo, we are not getting punked anymore.
Right.
We're going to punch back. And we did that. You know, the run game wasn't stellar, but hey, we didn't abandon it.
No, not at all. I mean, what you guys did to stop that Niners rushing attack was, like, that was impressive for me from kickoff through the fourth quarter. Right. Like, then, bro, you held San Francisco to 50 rushing yards.
Mm-hmm.
50.
Mm-hmm.
Deebo Samuel didn't even average 4 yards a carry. Now, Deebo is still Deebo because literally, I mean, this was just, to take a quick step back here. When the score was 7-7, Cooper Kupp hit the corner route, what looked like it was cover 6. I thought it was cover 2 initially, you know, corner of the flat, safety in the deep half, whatever, you know, that's what it was. But it was like Cooper Kupp being like a route technician, like we were talking about, not giving away what he's doing, and Stafford being able to put the ball in a place where only his precision route runner can secure the catch for a touchdown, right? Then we see completely the inverse, and both of these plays were examples of these teams. The Kupp TD and then the Deebo TD following that. It was just Jimmy G throwing a screen to Deebo. Deebo running through everybody.
Deebo's filthy.
That's just like, it was literally just, it's not like this, and people just would like, this whole like, oh, Jimmy G this. Oh, yeah, Jimmy G threw it. That was a 49-yard touchdown pass for Jimmy G in the stat book.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy G threw the ball behind the line of scrimmage. And Deebo did the rest.
Sometimes those QB stats aren't really what they meant to be, you know?
You know, it's just like,
really a receiver.
That's just the difference. It's like, you, like people who say, like, look what, you know, this guy did, look what that guy did, and, you know, yeah, he had a 50-yard touchdown, he had a 50-yard touchdown, or 18-yard touchdown. Well, you know, whatever it is, it's just that type of stylistic difference. Yeah. Like, it's just really what these teams were, and it's really who these players are, and this is why, again, honestly, the Niners came up short tonight because that's what they needed to get TDs, except for that Kittle touchdown.
Wide open. You know,
when that touchdown happened as a Rams fan, where was your headspace?
So for me, I was just like, look, I know this team can score. I know the Rams can score. We just got to slow it down. There's plenty of time left. You know, we just got to slow it down. Let's not get too cute. Let's not get too panicked. And, I mean, it didn't help with those challenges that McVay was having. What was your boy doing? I don't know. I didn't agree with either.
What was your boy doing?
It was just like, wow, you really putting us in a situation where we may need timeouts late, but now we don't have any.
It was like, what's that the event where they put the red sash, the red cape out, and the bull chases it?
The Matador event?
Matador, right? Yeah. It was like people were just putting out, and ironically enough, both involve a red flag, right?
Uh-huh.
It's like they're sitting out there dangling it, and every time McVay just went for it. Like, why, bro?
Just I didn't understand that, and I didn't agree. But you know what? Let's not forget to give some love to Blanton, the backup tight end to the backup tight end.
Oh, he was money today.
He stepped up big when Higbee went down.
He sure did, man.
Big. Like, mm-hmm. Yo, you know the history of this. You know the history of this rivalry. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. even the, you know, the funny thing, Jalen at the end of it, he kind of dismissed. He said, man, we weren't even worried about that. We were just focused on this game and doing what we had to do. Hey, Jalen, mm-hmm. I feel you, but I know for sure we was worried about that. that history does come to play.
Yeah, as a player, you're like, you know, your assignment is into this. That's where your mind goes. But whether or not it's where you're thinking, it is involved in this game. Mm-hmm. It's a part of it. There's no way it can't be. You know what I mean? It happened. You know, that's what it is. So, your man Odell today.
Oh, he was cool.
Odell Beckham. He was...
Odell,
he had 100 yards on the day. What was up? Oh, you got to have another one for Odell.
Yeah, because, you know, all that trash talking people gave about Odell in Cleveland. You know, I need the apology to be as loud as the disrespect. Because it doesn't look like a washed wide receiver.
Not at all.
Out there doing, and it's not like, oh, yeah, he got garbage time stuff. He wasn't crucial. No, Odell has been crucial during this postseason run. He has absolutely been crucial. And this game, he showed the hell out. I mean, Kupp and Odell both finished with over 100 yards receiving.
They both did.
That's a good motherfucking day.
And it was just both of them working the way that they are just designed to be. Like
Odell, salute.
Salute, Odell. Take a sip myself. The other area of this game I want to talk about is like, Josiah and I, as I know you heard, a couple of things that we were going over in the course of this game. And one of them was the linebacking core for the Rams today. And it was, you know, that was an area where you're like, you know, that core can't really necessarily do their thing. And we saw the front and the back end be able to overcome that. And Eric Weddle had a couple of plays in space.
That boy Reader can't tackle for shit.
I told you, bro. I said, like,
oh my goodness, man.
It's the same thing. Like they don't invest in that position. Like,
yeah, I don't really know why we don't. It's been a constant concern for like several seasons now.
You know, like you let, like, I mean, it's, here's the interesting thing. Like when you guys let Corey Littleton go, I was like, why
that
are you
hurt
guys?
My heart.
Yeah, but he's came over to the Raiders and he got replaced by Divine Diablo. I thought that under Gus, Corey was going to thrive because I was like, okay, you know, who was it? Paul Gunther was the quarterback or the defensive coordinator, basically the quarterback of the defense, calling the plays, dialing the scheme and all that. And Corey couldn't function. And I was going to chalk that up to just Paul being a bad DC. Well, here he now gets someone that in Gus that really elevated the entire unit. Mm-hmm. And yet Corey Littleton was still just meh. And Divine Diablo took his spot from him. And we still got him on the roster for a decent amount of money. So it's like, you guys had one guy who functioned and played well in that unit. And I get being upset when you let him go. Because I was happy that we got him. I loved
him. Yeah. Because, I mean, he just won the All-Pro. You know, he was just named
he was All-Pro.
Yeah. So it's just like, wow. We, you know, especially since that's not our strongest and our deepest position. Like, Okay, but it worked out. I mean, can we say it worked out? It didn't hurt as much, you know? Every time I heard Reader's name, it was like, of course he got the tackle because he was, I mean, Debo carried him for a couple yards.
He did on the, oh my God. He had the one where he stiff-armed him, like on one play where he just like stiff-armed him and like he goes in his grave. It's like he just with one hand, you know, threw the dude 6 feet deep. Like
this,
another
this
one.
This dude Reader thought he was at Disneyland or some joint. Just like, all right, this is.
Whoa, is this a ride?
Yeah, like what was up?
Universal Studios. Oh my God.
I'm like, come on, my guy. You playing for a Super Bowl? Can you wrap up, please? Can you make tackles? Oh my goodness, it was frustrating.
Yeah, no, I get it for sure. I mean, my favorite play today from San Francisco. I had mentioned it in the chat. And it was the George Kittle touchdown.
Yeah.
The George Kittle touchdown that made it from just, you know, a person who didn't have a lot of stock invested in this game. That made it just very like, okay, we're going to get like, you know, like, obviously, you know, I told you in the chat also, I want you guys to win. But that at that point, I was like, I don't want this, you know, let's just make this more entertaining. And you see before that play happens, you see Wes Welker, the receivers coach for the Niners. You see him go 22, 22. He's holding up, you know, two fingers with each hand, you know, two tight ends, two running backs, one wide receiver, and they come out with that personnel grouping. Mm-hmm. That makes then Raheem Morris, defensive coordinator of the Rams, put his base package on the field because we got to defend this type of, you know, San Francisco's a running team, et cetera, all that. The Niners then come out with one back in the backfield and three receivers split wide. They then motion out Elijah Mitchell from the backfield to the right. So on the right side of the field, you got Elijah Mitchell playing wide receiver on the numbers, Brandon Ayuk in the slot. On the left side of the formation, you got George Kittle lined up at the deep slot, number three. Number two in the other slot, you have Kyle Juszczyk, and then out wide, you have the backup tight end. They run a passing concept on the left side with two tight ends and a fullback, but yet it's an empty set. So they're essentially in quote-unquote five wide, but there's only one wide receiver on the field. This fool Kyle, man, like it's just this guy Kyle. And then he runs a sail from like a different alignment. A sail is a short route. I've talked about it on the show before. A short route, an intermediate route, and a deep route. But then Kittle runs the intermediate route from number three, which you don't really see because that's a lot of ground to cover. But when you have someone like George Kittle, hey, working against linebackers, you could do this shit.
Yeah.
Touchdown. Like I just... That guy, Kyle, did everything in his power to put this team in position to win. And cool, Jimmy G got his money. Jimmy G had a lot of success. Jimmy G is loved and respected by his teammates. I get all that. But there is a reason this man mortgaged those draft picks to go get Trey Lance. Just like Les Snead mortgaged those draft picks to get all those players for you guys to take that.
We don't have a first-round draft pick until 2024, baby. Let's go. You know?
Right? Why do you don't need one?
We don't. We don't when we... This is exactly what you make these moves for, which is, again, so typical of LA and, like, these quote-unquote big market teams, you know, to go all in. And that's what Snead and them did. And there was some rocky parts. There definitely was. The injuries didn't help. But, like, look what's happened. And one thing for sure, I do want to mention this because we mentioned this earlier when talking about Chris Jones. We talk about this defense. When you look at the stats, the defense doesn't really pop out to you in terms of, like, oh, look, Aaron Donald had himself a game. He had several sacks. Von Miller went crazy. You know, we didn't have our first turnover until to the end of the game.
So the very like last point. That yeah. Somehow, man, I got to give there's another area. I got to give the Niners respect for how they blocked AD.
Yeah. I mean, for a majority of the game, they were like, oh, San Fran has two sacks. Rams have zero.
Zero.
It's like, I mean, when you look at it, the Rams were dominating time of possession, yet 49ers were still tied with us or 49ers were in the lead. Like, the numbers weren't making sense to what the actual game script, the actual game was going. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, honestly, the defense, they just, because, of course, I don't know if you remember, at a certain point after that one touchdown, the Kelce touchdown, I believe, how Aaron Donald like basically just had a quick team meeting. Like,
hey, oh yeah, hey, he called everybody to the sideline and he had them huddle around him.
He's like, look, I ain't do all this shit to not get back here. You feel me,
bro? You know what I love seeing when he did that? Like, I love how Fox caught that. I'll give them the props for that, as opposed to the way they handled the Brady bleeding and the Stafford bleeding thing. The one thing I will give them credit for is Aaron Donald, who literally, I think, in that game, in the second quarter, I'm pretty sure on the left side of his crown where the ram horn was, that was an opponent's blood.
I thought the same thing, too.
I'm there was that red streak, and that shit wasn't lipstick. Like, you know, Aaron Andrews didn't give him a good luck kiss on the dome. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure that was blood. And they said, like, he's not vocal.
Yeah, he's not. He's not. Usually he just, you know, keep it real quiet. He lets his action talk for him. But nah, I mean, we got to remember how his emotions were. We know that this team is talented enough to be honestly in the NFC Championship game consistently. This team is talented enough. And this year we looked like we were on fire. And then we hit that rough patch. And then things started to look shaky. And then we started to right the ship again. And then we got into the 49ers. Aaron Donald wanted this rematch just as bad. Honestly, the only person who wanted this rematch more than I did was Aaron Donald. He wanted this. He wanted to exercise these demons. He wanted to get this monkey off his back. And again, the numbers will not make it seem like, oh, he had an impact, but he did. He did.
He occupied, he still drew double teams. Like, he always, like, it's to the point now, really honestly, where it's like, wow, Aaron Donald didn't do anything. I don't want to say that. My bad.
Yeah, it's like we can't always focus on the numbers because the numbers are going to tell a different story.
He got double teamed all the time. And here's the thing. Aaron Donald is double teamed all the time. The line always slides to Aaron Donald. Mm-hmm. Teams, when they make it, like they always account for him. Like, yeah, he, like, there was like a play. Oh, yeah, the double occurs on him. And it's like, I still at times am like looking at him to beat the double because he's done it so much.
And sometimes he's just a second or two late from beating the double, too.
Right.
You know, just like, oh, wow, one more second, he would have gotten home.
Like it's not Aaron Donald, like, oh, they put this dude on him and it won. No, it's like they had a team game plan to take him out. And San Francisco, to their credit, has done well against Aaron Donald. Like, but they allocate resources towards it. And today, that was just it was still evident in many ways. Like, the run game for San Francisco was neutralized. Sure, maybe Kyle could have looked to go to it maybe a little more at times, but I mean, the whole entire game, it was not working.
Yeah.
There was a couple of plays where, you know, Debo got his. There was a nice one where they were like, I want to say they were an empty. And they shifted from empty to a split back look, but the split backs were Juszczyk and Debo on the left and the right of Jimmy. Like, and oh, I got to give you guys props for that that fourth down stop. Was it a fourth? No, third down stop before they came out and tried to get y'all to jump.
Oh, where
we were talking about on the review pod of last week when they put fucking Trent Williams at he's in that hip slot look. He's basically like the wing, right? He comes in motion and then they run it behind him. And that was basically just like cheese, like chase the cheese, take the cheese. And y'all did it. You still like read the guards on the interior that were going to guide you where you're going to go. And you made a stop right there. That was huge.
Yeah. It really was, because even, you know, Shanahan was looking like kind of stressed. He's like, wow, okay, that didn't work. Like, I thought that was going to be money. Like the commentators, like Aikman and them were saying, you know, that's their tendency buster right there. They run that play to shake things up and to get you reeling. And the Rams were like, nah, did you see AD yelling at us? You know, he practices with knives, right? Yeah, we're not trying to deal with that. Nah, you know, we more scared of AD than we are of you, Kyle. So nah, we're not gonna fall for these tricks. And then to stay so disciplined on fourth down. Of course, before that, I didn't believe with the challenge call at all. That was stupid, McVay.
I even hated the bro. You guys, first of all, I mean, you had second down and one, and couldn't convert in 1 yard in three plays. Hats off to the Niners defense for that. I hated the fourth down play call.
Okay, look, first of all, I don't like when Stafford has the QB sneak. Yo, because he's always running that ball too high.
Too high. And the last way few weeks,
it's like, dog, how often do we see a QB sneak not work like this when it's just 1 yard? QB sneaks are like, if I was this adventure, 75% success accuracy, you know?
Maybe somewhere around there.
Yeah, but Stafford, when you do it, I'm like, damn, what is the percentage on this? 10%? Like, this is terrible. Can we stop with the QB sneaks? Because then I'm also afraid he might actually get hurt. I'm really concerned he might get hurt. So please, McVay, Stafford, no more QB sneaks. Don't do it.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, I understand to an extent. You're right. Stafford doesn't get low enough. So that's just like a thing that he's not like particularly good at is getting low and submarining, you know, like being a submarine and going below like where the leverage is. But even when you call that play, usually that's like a, okay, am I getting, there's like a check with me built into it. I want to say basically what the quarterback and the center are looking at is the center uncovered, right? So basically, is there a center head up on the on him, a defender? Right. Does he have somebody directly in front of him? If he doesn't, then that center can at least get enough push with no one directly in front of him. You just, you know, follow the center for an inch. They didn't have someone directly over Allen, the center. They didn't have someone directly over him, but they had two dudes shaded to both shoulders. I don't like Allen is a smaller center. I've talked about it on this show before. And we've talked about Allen's issues going against San Francisco in the trenches with those guys they got in the interior. All those factors don't make me like that call at all. I'm sorry. Like, we got to do better. We got to do better, Sean. And Josiah and I had talked about it on the show a little bit earlier on the preview show. Like, when we were talking about the best remaining units and the best coaches, and we both had Sean McVay ahead of Kyle, because a lot of times I've seen that I really don't disagree with Sean McVay. At times, to nitpick, of course. At times, I disagreed with a few things he did, the challenges, that type of a call, things like that. You know, I disagree. The screen in the fourth quarter, that tailback screen to Sony Michel, that Fred Warner, knew about the play before. Like, he sniffed that out from jump. Like, you know, stuff like that. I mean, but if I'm going to nitpick, that's it. But overall, like, he did what he needed to do. He drew up a lot of dope stuff today. He was still Sean McVay, and I'm glad to see Sean McVay going.
It pleased me that he didn't abandon the run, because, you know, he has a tendency to do that, be like, all right, if the run not working, we're just going to, like, forget about it and just keep flinging that thing. But Akers was doing he had some good, strong runs, especially
he late. Did.
And Michelle was finding some lanes, too, especially late when we needed 4 yards, boom. When we needed 2 yards, he'd get us four. So it was really good, and I'm salivating at the idea of Cincy. I'm going to be honest with you. That offensive line, oh, Lord, pray for him. Joe Burrow is about to have a meeting with each and every one of them and be like, look, y'all motherfuckers need to listen right here. Y'all need to protect my ass. You know who we going up against? We got 2 weeks to get this together. I don't want Aaron Donald all up in my grill. I don't want Von Miller breathing down my neck. Floyd saying hello. Gaines saying hi. How are you? Nice to meet you, Joe. My name is Mr. Gaines. I don't want none of that. But I will say this. I our secondary, our linebackers, they got to deal with Mixon. They got to deal with Higgins. They got to deal with Chase. I mean, the question is, will you put Jalen on Chase? Most likely, but who? Darius Williams. Darius Williams was getting cooked today, too.
Darius Williams is not a good match. So, like, I'm with you on, like, what do you do with Darius? You're right, he was. He was getting – there was a couple of times where it was, like, it was, you know, they recognized the zone, and, like, Williams was, like, succeeding the in route. It's just going to happen against the Kyle team, but you're right. In a lot of, like, contention points, Darius Williams was losing on a lot of, like the freaking the nine ball down the left sideline to Brandon Ayuk.
Oh, so Darius lucky. Almost
surrendered a touchdown.
So lucky Ayuk's momentum took him out of bounds, because that was clear as day at six.
That play, even the other play for you guys, the other time where your heart probably dropped, when Stafford, for some fucking reason, chucked that deep ball to to Van Jefferson or to Odell. I couldn't tell because it was deep and in between the two of them. And Jaquaski Tart was standing there.
Yeah,
basically, dude, I thought. Dude. I mean, honestly, I'm not gonna lie to you, bro. I thought he should have just called a fair catch. I thought he should have put his hand in the air and called a fair catch.
I was looking. Was
coming
I was like,
right to him.
Oh, so this is how we ended it. This is how we doing it, huh? This is how we just. This is how we gonna phone it in. Because that look, I thought like, wait, I thought this was a pass play, not a punt attempt.
Bro,
what is going on?
It was
man had all day. He was setting himself up. Oh nah, I know he's sick. And it's
like
showed.
That game you used to play
showed.
As a kid. 500 jackpot, yep. You know.
Oh my goodness.
I could
it
not believe it.
Because even ball. Warner was talking to him on the sideline because the rest of that drive, he was kinda out of it.
Yeah.
And I understand because that right there is game changing. That right there ends the game for sure. For sure.
Like he probably feels like he cost his team a game right now.
Yeah. And I mean, then Jalen almost had a similar moment.
Jalen, like, he had that one. Jalen's would have been a little harder, but Jalen's got to catch that if you're Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
And you're Jalen Ramsey, bro. That shit hits you dead in your shoulder, like, dead in your shoulder and, like, pec area, like, dead shoulder chest. Yours. You got to catch that, bro.
Because that's a six, too, as well. That's six as well.
He's yeah, and you know, you got to go take advantage of those. It's like it's the thing with Trayvon Diggs, where we talk about how much yards the man like gave up. It's also something to say that not only is he opportunistic to jump these routes, but that he catches the ball.
Yeah.
We saw that with Eli, we saw that with Tart, we saw that with, you know, I mean, Jalen locks people up and doesn't succeed 100 yards, but still like that is still a skill that a DB needs to do where at times it looks like, "Well, how did he not catch that?" Because, I mean, they're DBs. They don't have hands like receivers. You know, mm-hmm. Not all of them do. So,
mm-hmm.
Is what it is. The one thing that I want to say before you leave the kibosh and you say your last piece on what you thought of your team and what you want to say going forward. There's something I also wanted to get in on just this game in particular that I loved that's probably not too often highlighted. I loved at the end of this game, they were showing Sean McVay. On the sideline. And his expression was confident. He was cool. He was collected. He was shaking hands with his staff. He was telling everybody, great job. He was giving out his hugs, being the guy that he is. And I loved that no one came over and dropped the ice on this guy. No one drenched him with the cooler. Not a single person on that sideline, nor Sean McVay, realized that we have won anything at this point. And all of them just simply were like, no, this is what we came here to do. Of course, they enjoyed it. They were happy. They were expressive. All of them, it's the first time to go to Super Bowl. But they didn't act like the job is done.
Remember Marcus Peters said it best a few years ago. I think we ain't done yet. For a good number of these guys, they've been here. AD, he's been here before. We've been to the Super Bowl before. We didn't get it done.
Shit, Sony Michel was there on the other side of the sideline.
He was on the other side.
Yep.
So it's just like, yo... Definitely get excited a little bit, but the journey's not over. We still have one more team to face. When we get that done, show out there. Show out.
Yeah, dress that man in like several IPAs.
Yeah, you know it's going to be wild. Because let's be real, you know, when we talk about McVay, there have been whispers, you know, from fans like, hey, should McVay be fired? Should McVay lose his job? Like, if the Rams aren't able to get to the Super Bowl, or the Rams end up falling again to the 49ers. For me, I was like, I mean, it's hard to justify it given all the success that he's had with the team in his tenure. Like, a Super Bowl berth, constant playoffs, you know? I get it. It's just he struggles really hard against one coach. I get it. But, nah, man. I know we put together a Super Bowl or bust type roster. I completely get that. But McVay has stepped up when needed to because he's had someone he could trust. I mean, how happy is he that he has Stafford who's like, Stafford, you got this. You ain't a youngin'. I need to kind of mentor and teach and to like walk beside. Nah, you are a peer. You are a colleague.
Right.
You know what the hell you're doing. You didn't have most success in Detroit, but we're going to give you those opportunities now. You do what you need to do. Look at Cooper Kupp. Almost broke Megatron's record. look at OBJ, the one who people thought had was washed and had fallen off because of his lack of success in Cleveland. He's going to his first ever Super Bowl.
I'm glad that he, like, the performance that he had today, like, in part of it.
Yeah.
You know, if he would have just, you know, been someone that, you know, put his name on the group project, so to speak, then that's one thing. But the fact that today he was such a difference maker, I mean, him and Cooper Kupp, along with Kendall Blanton, the backup tight end, were the passing game today. That's crazy. And I just love seeing it. I mean, it's not too crazy because of how great we know Kupp is, the person and the player that we know Odell to be. And then just this other guy that they were, you know, the Niners, that is, maybe didn't account for, didn't think much of, or just basically left to be the guy that they were going to force to, you know, make conversions on certain times. And they were. I mean, there was one throw to him. It was I think it was his last reception. It was the one in the fourth quarter, and he just runs a choice route, and they try to trap the flat, and Stafford just threw a straight rope to him. And he got it, went down, boom, first down. Like, just stuff like that. When you can have those type of dudes step up in situations when you need them, I mean, you're only as good as the last guy on your roster or the next man up. And today, I mean, the Rams stepped up.
Because I've been on cloud nine since Thursday. So I'm just sitting here watching, like, look, we ain't going to panic. We're just going to take it a step at a time. And that's what we did. We were losing. We handled business. We got it done. You know, wasn't as nail-biting or dramatic, surprisingly, as Tampa Bay. But
right,
this team stayed poised.
To look ahead to the Super Bowl, in case we're unable to make to, you know, have it to where you can be on with us and you can offer your insight, which, of course, I mean, this is your show just as much as it's mine. It's our show. We all know this. So you can come on anytime. But today, right now, you said you wanted to at least give some type of tip to your initial thoughts of this matchup and this Super Bowl. What's brewing?
Because, you know, people were like, oh, we're going to get Rams for Chiefs. You know, that's going to be shootout galore. I can imagine. That I think at the time, the projected over-under was 52 at the time when they were like, all right, what type of Final Four what type of championship can we get out of these four possible scenarios? Rams Chiefs was over-under 52. I know they're going to set this one to probably like 48, 49, but I generally expect that this game is going to see it total of 60. The reason being is that, yes, Stafford and Cole will score, but I'm not taking Burrow lightly. I mean, our defensive has gotten their ass whooped a couple times. We've gotten burned a couple times. That's still motherfucking Ja'Marr Chase on the other side of the field right there.
Still is.
T. Higgins, a big and like I said, you know, with Darius Williams, all right, you're going to have Jalen. Jalen can get beat. And especially going to have one-on-one with Ja'Marr Chase. There is a height difference. Now, who you going to have on Higgins?
See, it almost matches up, like, style-wise better. Like, it almost matches up to have Darius on Chase. But do you really want to do that?
Exactly. So, they're going to get their points. They will get the – it's just a matter – it really is a matter of how quickly does Burrow get the ball out of his hand, because that O-line is – you know, they've managed to buckle down when they needed to. But now you're dealing with the Rams defense who are where they want to be. Who are also, for the most part, because of the level-headedness of veterans like Von Miller, guys like Jalen Ramsey, guys like Aaron Donald, they're not going to be so giddy and too excited. They're going to be calm. This is one more game. All that excitement will come afterwards. It's going to be quite a day, but I give respect to Joe Burrow in that offense. I expect him to put up points. But I generally think that we'll probably be like, you know, a 31-28 maybe.
31-28, man. I can't wait. I mean, I'm coming down off of this weekend that they gave us just recently, everybody involved. And while, you know, we didn't have four games this weekend, we had two great ones.
Yeah.
We really did. And
both teams coming from deficits to win.
Both.
And both on the road, too, yo.
Well, no, y'all. Well,
no. The Rams and the Bengals were on the road, and they were losing. They were both losing, and they came back to win it. Shout out to the home teams for not getting it done, and having to. And in the case of one home team having to travel all these miles back, basically go up the state just to go back into your bed. Shameful.
That part.
We'll, Niners we'll being a road team. We got one more home game now, thanks to y'all.
I know. You guys are going back home. Back-to-back years where the home team that has the arena as their house is in the Super Bowl. Yeah. And the last time this happened was just last year, and the team that was hosting the Super Bowl was the one that also hoisted the trophy.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to all the 49ers fans, for real. I mean, y'all had every reason to be hyped. Y'all... this is not the team that anyone expected to be here, and y'all did the damn thing. Even with a quarterback like Jimmy G, Kyle Shanahan knows how to make it work. And when Trey Lance season is ready to start, oh, it's going to be real special for the 49ers. So shout out to NFC West, doing the damn thing for sure. We still showing out. We still repping. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. 2 weeks, baby. I'm breathing easy for 2 weeks right now, because this game was what really had my heart in a chokehold. You know, people were like, yo, if y'all go, like, after the Bengals game, people were telling me, like, damn, y'all really about to face the Bengals. I said, we got to take care of San Fran first. That's the focus right now. We look ahead to the next game, we're going to get our asses smacked. And I'm glad we didn't look forward to the next game. We will focus on the here and now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys got a couple weeks to do it, too. Yeah, I'm excited too, man. Big congrats to you. Big, much props. I told you, I think I told you this even pre-divisional round weekend. Like, this is the, now that my Raiders don't have a chance,
yeah,
this is the team that I want. And I even think Henry and I spoke about this on, like, right when we got the playoff matchup that we were set to have in the NFC. Team I kind of want to see go is, like, it's the Rams. That's kind of who everyone knows where my allegiance lies.
Of course.
But, you know, if now when my squad's out, no skin off my back, who we got? Too many people over there on that Rams organization that I want to go ahead and see get that title. Yeah.
Eric Weddle coming out of retirement just to play the Super Bowl.
Who was that that said that? Like, Troy, play to pick up basketball to you hooping at LA Fitness and, like, going to go to the NFL? Like, no. It's not like, I want to go to the NFL, days. So I'm going to train by playing pickup hoops.
And well, he's going to the Super Bowl. He was just on the bench. He was playing significant minutes.
Significant minutes, yeah.
It's like, well, all right. You know, whatever that pickup basketball routine you got going on, you need to share that with the class.
Yeah. Share that with the class, bro. Get your PowerPoint on.
Yeah, we're going to see if some other people can come out of retirement next season.
Going to be going to a lot of names. Going to be checking a lot of people. I heard that Isaac Bruce recently got into field hockey, so y'all might be able to get him back.
Hey, you know what? If they keep it moving for him, we'll take him back in. We'll bring everybody back for this game.
Torrey Holt. I heard he was doing CrossFit.
I heard Todd Gurley still stay this shit. Todd, we could use you.
Todd Gurley got a tonal.
Yeah.
Ricky Prohl, he was riding his Peloton, you know. Right. they're all doing their own thing.
We're not going to leave nobody out no more.
Yeah, not going to leave anybody out. Marshall Faulk, especially on that P90X, is looking real ripe for y'all.
Yeah.
But either way, as we sit here on the conclusion of the title game weekend, we were still given some tremendous games. I very much enjoyed this, and now we got one game left coming up to decide it all. We will have an extensive amount of Super Bowl coverage, of Super Bowl previews to do here on the Cover Zero podcast, sitting here as a part of SSAW. Big shout out. Much respect to our El Jefe, CJ, the Niner fan.
Yep.
Couldn't be today, and much respect to all the Niner fans that I know listening to this. So many y'all to name. I will reach out to each of you individually in person in case you need a shoulder to cry on or a sofa to lay down and have a therapy session. I'm here for that. I got y'all. I know what it's like.
And, you know, sometimes having two homes isn't the best thing, you know? It's not always the best thing.
That's two mortgages, but, bro. That gotta suck.
Yeah, I know that. I know that can be stressful. So I'm glad that y'all get that stress off your backs now. Y'all can go back to your first home and, you know, kind of wind down and enjoy the off season with the rest of us. And by us, I mean not anyone who's a Rams fan, because we still got work to do.
Cincinnati, but, you know, fans too.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I know them Cowboys fans. Y'all been going back and forth. Y'all can spend time with them now. Y'all can holler at them. But
salute, brother.
Yeah, I'm happy. You feel me? I'm happy.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I'm happy too. How could you not be at this point when we are on the brink of history being made yet again, as the 2022 Super Bowl is just 2 weeks away. We appreciate y'all listening to Cover Zero Podcast, and we will be back with much more coverage in the coming weeks. Y'all take care.
That's our show. Be sure to email us with your questions, comments, and statements to coverzeropodcast@gmail.com. To find all of the links to follow us on social media, and also to find more exclusive content, visit us at tssaw.com. See you next week.